After first service, I had a gentleman come up to me and he goes, "You know, Pastor, you don't wear those bib overalls too much bad, but you know, I've never seen a guy press his bib overalls." Well, you know, I'm playing a role, right? I'm playing a role today. And that's what I want to talk to you about from our first Southern saying. Some of you are playing a role too, but it's not in this set. It's in the set of life. And the saying that we're going to look at today is this one. Quit playing possum. You ever heard that phrase? Ah, he just playing possum. Well, we're talking about an opossum, the animal, right? An opossum's involuntary reaction when they're frightened or scared that somebody's going to hurt them, they fall into this death-like faint and just play dead when they're really not. They're playing a role. They're playing possum. I couldn't let this one go by. I had to show you this. You've probably seen it. I don't care much for all of their commercials, but this one I kind of like. Take a look at this.
Well, the kids wanted a puppy, but they can be really expensive. So to save money, I just found them a possum.
Dad, I think he's dead.
Probably just playing possum. There he is.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car
insurance. That's cute, right? And I wonder, though, sometimes if we just waited long enough, could we say that about you? Oh, there he is. Oh, there she really is, right? Because this idea of playing possum, sometimes a person who pretends or role plays. And may I just say this? Don't pretend like you've never done it. I've played possum. You've played possum. We've all done it. And it's in the things that maybe sometimes you would not think of, but you played possum. Like, for example, picking your nose. You've picked your nose. You've done it in public, but you pretend you never have. Everyone's picked their nose at some point, whether to relieve an itch or to clear their nasal passages. Or some people will even say, "Oh, I was just getting that little piece of dead skin." Yeah, whatever, right? Or what about this? You read the messages from your notification bar, but then pretend as if you haven't yet seen the message. Because by doing this, you feel like I can buy myself a little bit of time. They'll never know that I actually read it, but they'll think I have it yet, and I can decide what I really want to say, right? So my son says, "Hey, Dad, give me a call when you get a second, wondering if tomorrow you could." I'll just wait a little bit on that. I don't know what he wants, right? No. Or what about this? You ever rehearsed conversations or winning arguments over and over in your head before you have the conversation or the argument? Before a big meeting or a meaningful or maybe a crucial conversation that you know that needs to take place, you find yourself rehearsing what you want to say to the other person. And so you come up with concocted witty comebacks and points that you want to make in order that you might win your argument. We all do it if we pretend, "Oh, I don't have conversations like that." Or let's just get really real. Passing gas in public. Right? I know some of you have never stooped to such things. But we've all had that moment when we've awkwardly, maybe accidentally, let the flatulence fly, right? And yet then we pretend or deny that we ever did it, right? Well, who did that? Well, we try to pin it on somebody else. I'll never forget when I was in high school, going to this church growing up, and it was when we had our old building. It was just a one-aisle church with the two pews in the middle. And I was sitting on one of the ends, and I think it was my mom maybe beside me, and then my dad on the other side, and we just sat down from singing a song, and we heard this noise. And about 10 seconds later, we sensed the smell. And I look over to my dad. My dad looks at me like, My mom looks at me, starts giving us the elbow. Which one? She's mad. She's thinking, "Well, he did it or I did it." My dad finally figured it out. The elderly lady sitting directly in front of me, she did it. Not lying. I didn't call her name out because I think she's still alive in this church. Just saying. I wasn't going to get that real. You know, I don't know if she was just playing possum, thinking, "Well, they'll think it's the high school kid behind me." Maybe she just can't hear anymore, never heard it, and didn't even know she let it out. But we did, and the awkward moment, right? We've all been guilty of playing possum at some time in our lives, pretending, play-acting, posing, posturing, faking it. We do it involuntarily at times, and sometimes we do it strategically. Well, why would we do it strategically? Because we're afraid, just like the possum. We want to protect. We want to feel safe. We're fearful of being rejected. We're fearful of the pain that we might feel in the circumstance. We're afraid of being embarrassed. We're afraid and worry about what others might think if they actually knew that. Can I ask you something? What would it be like if you could walk through the rest of your life without ever faking it again? What if instead of pretending or play acting, you lived in total honesty with yourself, with your spouse, with your family, with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, and yes, even God? What if you had people in your life you could tell anything to? What if you really believed that God loves you just as you are? What if you knew that if you were to risk it and be genuine and be authentic and talk about the real, the raw, and the honest things that you feel and that you think, if you shared it, would it come back to bite you? What if today you and I quit playing possum? Well, quitting is typically not a quality we admire in ourselves or in others. Quitting is often seen for losers, right? Weak people, selfish people. The kind of quitting I'm talking about today isn't about weakness. It's not about giving way to despair. It's about strength and choosing to live in truth. It's about the death of your illusions, the play acting, the pretending, the posturing. It's about ceasing to pretend everything's fine when it's not fine. See, playing possum, I think, is pretending or faking something. It's this universal problem. I've seen it in marriages. I see it in friendships. I see it in work environments. I even see it in the church. I even see it in this church. What if we were to quit those things that are damaging to our souls? I don't know about you, but here's what I've learned. Pretending is so exhausting. It is. Faking it until you make it, it is so life-draining. What if we were to quit the facade and the lies and today instead wrapped our arms around and embrace reality and truth? It's interesting that quitting is a way of putting off maybe what the scripture calls falsehood of the old self. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Ephesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off, to quit your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, watch this, each of you must put off falsehood, quit pretending, quit not being real, and speak truthfully to each other and to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Today, church, I want to challenge you that maybe for you it's time to quit. Quit pretending to know more than you actually do because you don't. Isn't it true to some degree? Every one of us has trouble owning our own limitations. We exaggerate our talents and our abilities and our skills in order to impress somebody else. I'll never forget when I was in high school, just graduated, going to go off to Huntington College in the fall, and I was over here at the community center off State Road 13 at the mats, the basketball courts, right? Shooting hoops, and there was another guy who graduated with me, and he was over there shooting hoops. He came to youth group once in a while, too. And we were just, as we were shooting, he's talking. I said, so what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm headed off, at the end of summer off to Notre Dame. I'm playing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. I said, come again? He says, yeah, I'm going to be playing for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. I was stunned. I wasn't sure what to say. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you never even played football in high school. Why would he say such a thing, right? I mean, why would he pretend? And of all teams, why would you pick Notre Dame? I mean, come on. I'm just kidding. I don't get that. And yet we all do it. We pretend to know more than we actually do. We exaggerate our skills and our abilities in order to impress other people. You've been in a conversation, right? And you nod your head sagely or agreeable with someone who assumes that you understand the topic that they're talking about when really you're lost. I mean, you want to really lose me? Come up and start talking about farming equipment. Come up to me and talk about automobiles and what's under the hood. I'll just sit there and go like this. I don't know what you're talking about. We go along as we know exactly what they're talking about, and we don't have the foggiest idea. See, sometimes we struggle with being honest with what we know and even sometimes about what we don't know. It's like my two buddies, Roscoe and Chumley. Both were applying for the same job, and the interviewer, when set them both down, said, "Here's the deal. I can only hire one of you, so whoever scores highest on the test will get the job." She hands both Roscoe and Chumley the test, and 30 minutes later, Roscoe and Chumley at the same time hand in their tests. The interviewer grades their tests. She looks at them and says, "You guys scored the exact same on the test. Chumley, you get the job." Roscoe's incensed. He's infuriated. He demands an explanation. "Why did Chumley get the job if you said our scores are exactly the same?" The interviewer answered and said, "Well, that's easy. Because on question number 17, Chumley answered, 'I don't know.' And you said, 'Me neither.'" Right? Quit pretending to know more than you actually do when you don't know. Why is it so hard for us when we're in a conversation to say, "I don't know"? There are times I feel like when somebody comes and asks me a Bible question, like, I got to know, right? Because I'm the pastor. And there are times like, "I don't know. Well, Pastor Jeff, was that in this book or that book? I don't know. I have to look it up just like you might," right? And sometimes I like messing with people just a little bit. Right? When I really know that they're posturing in front of me, and I'll say, "Well, you know, just look, it's up in Hezekiah chapter 3, 16 and 17. They start flipping their Bible looking for Hezekiah. Finally, I let them off the hook. There's no Hezekiah in y'all. There is a person named Hezekiah. There's no book of the Bible called Hezekiah. They're like, "Oh," right? We pretend. The question is, why do we do it? Because we want to fit in. Don't want to appear ignorant. Don't want to appear irrelevant. We act like we understand. We don't have a clue. It's like a student in a classroom. The teacher asks him, "Now, is there any questions?" And everything inside of you, "Yeah, I got lots of them. I don't understand the thing you're saying." And there's probably 10 or 15 others who feel the same, but nobody will raise their hand. Or it's like the elderly adult having a conversation with a young person about technology. And they sit there and smile, nod their head, "I don't have a clue what you're talking about." Maybe it's because grandpa can't hear her. Maybe he's just playing along until you ask them a question and then they're caught in their trap like, "I don't know," or "I didn't hear a thing you were saying, I couldn't hear you." See, it doesn't matter what age or stage in life you are, we all want to fit in. We all don't want to feel irrelevant. We don't want to feel ignorant. But my friends, we got to quit pretending to know more than you actually do when you don't. You got to quit pretending that you don't care what others think, because the truth is you do. You know, there was this highly scientific experiment. It was conducted back on November 11th, 1962, in New York City, that supported the hypothesis that we do care about what others think of us, and we often will conform to their influences. This highly scientific experiment was run by Ed Funt of Candid Camera, and it's called Face the Rear. It's about taking people in an elevator, and everybody decides instead of facing the doors, they're going to face the rear car. Watch what happens.
"The gentleman in the elevator now is a candid star. These folks who are entering, the man with the white shirt, the lady with the trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat..." "...tries to maintain his individuality. But little by little, he looks at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall. Here's a fella with his hat on in the elevator. First, he makes a full turn to the rear, and Charlie closes the door. A moment later, we'll open the door. Everybody's changed positions. Now we'll see if we can use Now we'll see if we can use group pressure for some good. Now, in a moment, on Charlie's signal, everybody turns forward. Notice, they take off their hats. And now, do you think we could reverse the procedure? Watch.
And yet you say, I don't care what anybody else thinks, but you do. And if we're honest, we all do. And we need to quit pretending like we don't care what people think when we do. See, our need for another's approval or even sometimes for group acceptance can be so subtle and pervasive, it can be difficult to recognize it, not only in others, but especially in ourselves. Take, for example, you're hurt by a friend's comment, but you'll say nothing to them because you don't want to be thought of as being too touchy or too soft or easily offended. And yet you really got hurt. Or maybe you're out with a group of friends who they want to go to a seafood restaurant, and the last food on earth you'd want to eat is seafood. But in an effort not to become disagreeable or to seem as selfish, you just kind of go along and you'll figure it out. Or maybe it's a coworker who uses profane language. They use it all the time around you, some of which is sexual nature, some uses God's name in vain, but you say nothing to them or to others because you don't want to become across as a holier-than-thou prude of everybody in the factory. Or maybe it's simply your family wants you to attend your great uncle's retirement party, and it's 200 miles away, and you already kind of had plans for the weekend, and you don't want to attend, but you go anyway rather than face your family's disapproval. And yet you say, I don't care what others think, but your words and your actions tell a different story, my friend. It's interesting that Jesus warned us about this. Jesus warned his disciples about playing possum and kowtowing to what others might think about you, or cowering under their threats should you choose not to participate in their play-acting hypocrisy. Listen to what's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, and he said, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. That word yeast or leaven in the Bible is typically a negative thing, because if you get just a little bit of it in a group, it'll just take over, just like it would in a bread. You get a starter, and it just expands, right? And here's what he says to the people, his followers. He says, be on guard against this against the yeast of the Pharisees. Well, what is it? It's hypocrisy. Literally translated, it means talking from behind a mask. It means play acting. It means pretending. Notice what Jesus says. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body's been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. What's he saying? Here's what Jesus is saying. You're going to give an account. Every word, every deed done in public or in private will be known. It'll be disclosed. And don't worry so much what everybody else thinks about you. Don't worry about what the Pharisees think. The fact that you don't go along with their play acting and hypocrisy. What's the worst that they could do to you? What's the worst that man or people could do you other than to kill you? That's the worst. Jesus says, don't be afraid of them. Be afraid of not only the one who could take your life, but put your soul in hell. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about God. That you and I need to be concerned more about what he might think of us. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. And indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And just in case you're wondering, just to be clear, this is how much value you have to God. Those things that the world would consider worthless, like five sparrows for a penny, yet God has not forgotten one of them. Think about the number of hairs on your head. It changes. You have hair fall out daily, right? And yet every day God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. Now for some of you that's not as much a challenge as for others. I get it. But God still knows, right? He goes on, Jesus says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowned me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Sometimes I wonder if we neuter our testimony, if we don't talk about Jesus enough because we're worried about what other people will think. This next week, I want you to do an experiment of your own. I want you to take note of the interactions that you have with other people. And I want you to determine how many times your words, your actions, or your responses change in order to gain the approval or avoid the disapproval of someone else. See, quit pretending that you don't care what others think, because you do. And yet the Bible says, Jesus says, you ought to be more afraid, you ought to be more concerned about what God thinks. In other words, my friend, today, what is your foundation for your self-worth and your significance? Do you need people to think that you're a good Christian and a good person? If the foundation of your significance, if the foundation of your self-worth rests upon what you do, your performance, and what other people think about what you do, about your performance, can I just tell you, your self-worth and your significance is on very unstable ground. Because when that becomes your foundation for your self-worth and significance, you'll find yourself saying yes when you wanted to say no, even when you're miserable. And you'll find yourself saying things and doing things, or not saying things and not doing things, out of fear of what others might think. Let me ask you a very personal question. Are there still large quantities of your identity that have remained untouched by the truth of Christ's love for you? Does your daily lovability, likability, self-worth, and significance come from how others perceive you, or based on what Christ has said about you? Today, quit pretending like you don't care what others think, because you do. Quit pretending that you've got it all together, because you don't. None of us do. Every one of us in this room, we fall into two traps: the trap of performance, the trap of pretending. We try to perform, to maintain a particular standard, just in order that God or others will love and accept us. And we feel as though if we don't meet that standard, then we'll be rejected. And because we don't want to be rejected, so then we begin to pretend. We always try to act like we've got it all together, even when we don't feel like it, and even when we don't. And I've already told you that this pretending, this performing, it can be so exhausting, can it not? And yet so many of us live our lives like that. It's like taking a beach ball and trying to push it down underneath the surface of the water and keeping it there from popping up. Can you imagine it? You feel the pressure of always trying to perform at a certain level. You always feel the pressure of trying to impress other people. You're always trying to keep all of your real and honest feelings and thoughts and emotions submerged so nobody will truly know the real you, because if they knew the real you, what would they think of you? So we pretend like we got it all together when we don't. We post on social media the shiny, happy moments of our lives, whether or not it accurately reflects the way our lives are really going. Some of you are dying on the inside, but on the outside, on your Instagram post, everything is filtered and enviable for others. Quit pretending like you got it all together, when today, deep down inside, you know you don't. Quit pretending to be pain resistant, because you're not. Everybody in this room hurts at some point in time. You have hurts of your past. Some of you are going to be hurt in the future. Some of you are experiencing pain today. And yet to pretend that you're immune to the effect of life in a broken world denies the reality of your circumstances. To act as if you've reached a level of spiritual maturity where suffering and pain doesn't shake you, well, that, my friend, that's just unbiblical, and that's dishonest. And if there's anything I know about the Christian faith never denies reality. Listen to me, you don't have to pretend that what that other person said about you to others, that your heart doesn't want to respond back to them in bitterness and revenge instead of forgiveness. And yet we want to appear spiritual to everybody else when inside we're mad, we're angry. You don't have to act as if you've never experienced doubts and question the goodness, the wisdom, the care, and the concern of God in your life. Is God sovereign? That I ask that question, what would people think of me if they knew? Man, just read the Psalms. Read the Psalms in the Bible. You'll find recorded some of the most real and raw thoughts of a God-fearing man. And often he cries out in pain and despair, questioning the goodness, questioning the presence of God in his life, sometimes just wanting to throw in the towel, sometimes wanting to be just left to die. He doesn't hide his pain. He doesn't hide his suffering. No pretending here, not with the psalmist, and yet there is with you and I. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we experience pain because of the sin and the bad choices we make in our life, no doubt about it. Sometimes we experience pain because of the sin and the bad choices that somebody else makes, and it overflows into our lives as well. Sometimes we experience pain simply because we live in a sin-fallen world. But catch this. Sometimes we experience pain. Watch. A good pain has nothing to do with sin because we experience life. This last week and a half, it's been a transition. It's been a change for my wife and I. We dropped off our youngest son, who graduated high school at college. My oldest is out and married, and we took my middle son, who's a senior, and my youngest son, who's a freshman, and dropped them off, and my wife cried all the way home. And I shed a few as well. We're empty nesters. Feels a little bit different. The house feels a lot bigger now. And here's what I know, that you can't pretend like you don't experience pain when you do. I knew that when we got home, because we'd worked out ahead of time, one of my wife's closest friends knew that she was going to struggle. So on the counter, when my wife walked in the door of our house, was some flowers, a care package, and a card with Jody's name written on it. I got in ahead of time because I knew I needed to be present and ahead of her, because as soon as she hit the door and saw it, she lost it. Now listen to me. Do I think I understand what my wife's going through? Can I try to the best of my ability acknowledge that with words? Absolutely. But I will never be able to hit the mark as well as another woman, another mom who's been a little further down the road. When my wife, the card, and another woman said to her, I had to question, who am I now? It hit home with Jody. And I asked her recently, I said, what are you feeling? She goes, I feel like I've been forced into retirement. Now, you and I both know she's always going to be a mom, no matter how old your kids are. But what she was really saying is, one of my main identities, one of my main roles for the last 24 years has been momming three boys. And so she hurts. At a totally different end of the spectrum, there's a lady in our church who just lost her husband at 21 plus years. She's her third husband. Her other two husbands had died previously too. And as I met with her and one of her family members to go over the funeral arrangements, she looked at me and she says, Pastor Jeff, I just want my happy back. What she means is, I'm so sad right now. I hurt. I just want my happy back. Because typically she's a very joyful, outgoing person. And I knew that it would. But in that moment, she acknowledged. She didn't pretend. She was real. She was raw. Here's what I want to say to you, church. Don't pretend your heart doesn't hurt when it does. Don't pretend you're not sad when you are. Don't pretend you're pain resistant when you're not. Don't pretend you're okay when you're not okay. Can I say this to you? Lean into others. There's a song that we sing around here. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I don't know about you, but I am. So quit pretending. that you're pain resistant when you're not. And can I say this? Quit pretending you can go it alone, because you can't. It's amazing the amount of healing that can occur when we're real, open, and honest with other people. The half-brother of Jesus says this: therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for, notice what it says, one another. Why? So that you can be healed. But he's not just talking about confessing our sins, but our real and our honest emotions and thoughts and feelings to one another. And when you do it, it lessens your burden. Now, understand, before you start telling everyone everything, you need to know who your one another is, right? Amen? Don't tell everybody everything. Know who can carry your burden. Know who can carry your story with grace, and refrain from oversharing with those who can't. It's like those three pastors from three different churches from the same town who went out of town to a pastor's conference. And at the pastor's conference, they found themselves together after lunch and began a conversation. And the one pastor looked at the other two and he says, you know what? Our people come to us, they pour out their hearts, they confess their sins and their needs because it's good for their soul. Maybe we should do the same. So he goes, I'll go first. I'll start by confessing my secret sin. I love to gamble. Man, every time I can get out of town, I find the nearest casino and cha-ching, cha-ching, the slot machines, let them ring. The other one looks at him and goes, well, I don't have that gambling problem, but I guess if we're being honest, I like to drink. And if I can get out of town where nobody knows me and none of my congregants are, I like to find the nearest bar and throw a few back. Both of them looked at the third pastor, and he's just sitting there kind of silent with his head down. They have to encourage him a little bit, and he goes, okay, I'll go. My secret sin is gossiping, and I can't wait to get back home. Right? Know who can carry your story with grace and who cannot. There's a magnet in our refrigerator Jody received from one of her one another's. I love it. I would own it as my own too. You'll always be my friend. You know too much. Right? Who's that friend for you? Who is that one another in your life? For whom are you that one another? And can I say this to you, my friends? Give people space to just be real. Be sensitive. Don't dish out pious platitudes or familiar common refrains. Well, you know, you just got to trust God. You know what? My wife knows that. It wouldn't be helpful for a church person to come and say, well, you know, you just really need to trust God, Jody, during this time. She knows that. Don't do those things. Hey, listen to me. Sometimes when people are trying to be honest and real with what they're feeling, they don't need you to give them another verse. They need you to put your arm around them. Say, I know you're hurting right now, and you're trying to figure it out, and I know you will, but know this, I'll walk with you, and I'm praying for you. They need a tender spirit who acknowledges their pain and their hurt and their heartbreak and assures they won't walk alone. Well, let me look at my notes real quick. Put unapologetic plug for life groups here. Okay, why aren't you in a life group? Why aren't you in a small group to do life together? And yet, beyond our human relationships, are you being real and honest with God? Listen to what the Bible says. Nothing, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything, everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, to whom we must give an account. My friend, listen to me. It's useless for you to continue to play possum, pretending you feel how you're supposed to feel instead of feeling how you really feel. God sees right through the cover-up. He sees behind your mask, behind your false pretense, because everything is uncovered. Nothing is hidden. There's no point in putting on a tie when you're spiritually, emotionally naked before God. So quit playing possum, and instead, can I encourage you today, draw near to God. Notice what it says, with a sincere heart, not a fake heart, not a posing heart or a posturing or pretending heart. Come before him and tell him all. Let it go. Be real. Be honest before God. I promise you this, God will not love you any less than he already does. He will not love you any more than he already does. Somebody needs to hear this today. It's okay. It's okay if in this moment you're not okay. Because the one who holds the world is holding on to you. It's all right in this moment if you're not all right. because the one who holds the stars is holding your whole life. Listen to the words of this song. Let it wash over you here in this moment.
If I didn't know what it hurt like to be broken, then how would I know what it feels like to be whole? If I didn't know what it cuts like to be rejected, then I wouldn't know the joy of coming home. It's okay if I'm not okay, 'cause the one who holds the world is holding on to me. Maybe it's alright if I'm not alright, 'cause the one who holds the world is holding my life. If I didn't know and drove me hide in the shadows, I wouldn't know the beauty of being free. Oh, maybe it's okay if I'm not okay, 'cause the world above the world is holding on to me. Maybe always remember that you are also close. Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here in my heart as in heaven.
You don't have to play act. You don't have to posture or pretend. And yet for religious people, pretending can become such a way of life. Remember again Jesus' warning to his disciples. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. And yet when we read that, we discount it. We ignore this. We pretend like that won't be true. Listen to me, my friend. God is serious about your sincerity. And today is a good day for you to quit pretending. Quit pretending that you'll always have tomorrow, because you won't. So run toward God today. be real with God in this moment. Draw near to him with a sincere heart. But listen to what the rest of the verse says. And with the full assurance that faith brings. Well, what is that assurance? Go back three verses earlier. See, we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that's open for us through the curtain. That is his body when he died on the cross. And since we have a great priest, meaning Jesus, who's over the house of God, who was tempted in every way like you and I, and yet never sinned, because of that, let us draw near to him with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith of this brings to us. I wonder today, have you received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for your sins? Are you certain today of your salvation? Are you confident in a relationship with a God who, no matter what you bring to him, will not love you any less, nor will he love you any more? He just plain out loves you. My friend, quit pretending that you won't get an account for your life, because you will. And maybe, just maybe, you've prayed many times acting as if you really belong to God, as if he's really your father, when in fact you've never really put your trust in his son Jesus. You've never really trusted Jesus to be the personal rescuer from your sin and the death carry and the death penalty that it carries. You never turned your back on the sin and the falsehood and the pretense and the pretending. You never come to the point of surrender where you quit and you said, Jesus, my only hope is to have you forgive me my sins and to give me the life-giving freedom that I desire and so desperately need. Some of you have been playing possum so long and so well. Everyone around you thinks you really know Jesus, but you fooled them. You play-acted almost to perfection, but God knows. God knows, because everything is uncovered, nothing is hidden, and you know that there's never been that moment of personal surrender. Oh, you may have had Jesus in your head, but you've never had him in your heart. Why don't you start today? Why don't you be the one that stands and says, that changes now. In this moment, I'm quitting. No more pretending, no more posing, no more faking. I'm going to come to God, and I'm going to do it with an honest, without pretense, with a sincere heart, just as I am, and admit my need of him. Might you not do that so that when you leave this place this day, you can leave knowing with assurance that not only do you belong to Jesus, but Jesus belongs to you for reals. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and the band's coming out, and we're going to close with one more song that you're familiar with, we've done. But today what God is asking from you is just your heart, your heart that is sincere, that is honest, that is real, that is raw. And some of you have been walking a journey that's been tough, and nobody knows it because you're hiding it well. Today's the day you say that changes. No more pretending, no more hiding. My friends, these altars will be open. As the band sings, if you want to come and pray, you do. Maybe you know that there's somebody else who they're running from Jesus. They're hiding, and you see it and you know it, but they won't admit it. Maybe you want to come to pray that the Holy Spirit may grab their heart and bring them before Jesus this morning. I don't know what it is that you're carrying today, but if you want to come, these altars are open. People are here. They'll come and pray with you, not embarrass you. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend. May it stop now. May you give your heart to Christ. God, in this moment, have your way. As we sing, may your people respond. May they leave differently than they came in. In your name, amen. Speak what is true.
speak what is true, 'cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. He is my
these last few moments, God has been speaking what is true into some of your hearts. And yeah, you're holding back, some of you. Just going to keep trying. Going to keep performing. Going to keep pretending. Okay, but that's exhausting, friend. And I want you to know that today before you leave, there's freedom from that. You don't have to do that any longer because Jesus Christ died for that. He died for not only your sin, the guilt of your sin, the shame that you feel. You don't have to be embarrassed. This is a safe place, no matter what you're going through. It's a safe place enough, though, that not only will we love you where you're at, but we won't let you stay there because God wants you to grow. He wants you to become more and more like him, and that's ought to be our pursuit. And so we're going to let you go, but if there's somebody here that you're like, man, I should have went up there. Come on up after. We'll hang out for a while. We'll pray with you. Don't leave here still trying to do that. Amen. God, I thank you for your word and its truth. Help us not to go into this week playing possum. Help us to be the real deal. Help us to know that we have a God who loves us. And no matter what I deal or what I say, he won't love me any less. And even if I perform well, he don't love me anymore. He just loves us. There's freedom in that, Jesus. There's a man or a woman who still has to experience that yet. Help it to be so heavy in their heart and their head that they can't walk out of here until they do. For the rest of us, God, go with us. Holy Spirit, empower us. Encourage us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, we'll see you next Sunday. Hey, have some fun out there in the lobby. Get yourself a little photo op, all right? We'll see you then.